Let's listen to Danny Lakey and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across
Lakey.
Australia, this is the Danny Lakey Show.
It's Danny Lakey.
Now, I'm not saying it's ever happened, but it's important to be aware of what may happen if a man were to ever swallow a whole AFL football. Deflated, of course. Deflated. We talked about the pastor who keeps farting on people. He goes by the name Christ Penelope. He seems like a real straight shooter. The Miracle Multi is back for 2021, and I'm not effing around this year. I have made some important calls straight away. It's setting the standard of professionalism for the year ahead. We will be financially victorious on a betting app this year. It's our time. If anyone deserves to be rich, it's me and six randoms who've called 133353. Let's kick it off with Mischief. Couple break into cinema, help themselves to popcorn, and then have sex. Stop at the popcorn like the rest of us, okay? We all want to have sex at the cinema. Very seldom do we actually go through with our urges. CCTV footage caught the couple breaking into the Kinograd cinemas in St. Petersburg, all Russian. Meow. 18th of March, this happened a couple of days ago. In the footage, the pair can be seen stealing popcorn and drinks at the food counter before they go into a screening room. They then have sex inside the cinema before sneaking out the next morning, before they are caught by any security guards whatsoever. A spokesperson from the cinema said the late-night visitors had respectfully cleaned up after themselves before they left. Yeah, that's one thing I like about the Russians. They're keen to get into some cinema mischief, but then they'll almost be rid of the cinema sex guilts afterwards. But we'll make sure they'll clean up. And to be honest, there's nothing worse, having worked at a cinema before as one of the little busboys, there's nothing worse than people leaving behind all their popcorn crumbs and their candy wrappers and their semen all over the floor. So I'm glad that these guys have really picked up their act. According to the local media, the cinema is also keen to offer the couple some free tickets to a free screening for being so considerate. Oh, hang on, Russians. Come on. That'll only encourage them. The decision has caused a bit of a stir online, with many locals suggesting the lovers should be punished, not rewarded. Yeah, I agree. While others have questioned the cinema's security system that allowed two people to just stroll in like they owned the place, it's unclear if the police plan to look into the incident. Bit of a movie mayhem, isn't it? Bit of movie mayhem, bit of cinema mischief. I feel that's the place where you sort of break into the mischief game, isn't it? As a child, it's usually the first place you're allowed to go with your mates as like a 10 or 11-year-old kid. Your parents, but, oh, right, yeah, right. Who else is going? Is Jonathan going? Well, if Jonathan's mum can take you to the cinema, you can go to the cinema. And that's kind of the first time that you get your own independent license, a little smell of the real world, 11, 12-year-old kids going to the movies and such. Bit of fun. I heard stories. My parents were quite strict growing up, so I never really got into the cinema mischief game until late, but I heard stories of my friends going to the movies, and there was always this rumour, and I believe it's true, that you just sneak into another movie afterwards. You just almost movie hop around the whole Greater Union complex and see about eight movies in 8 hours, I mean, considering that you're probably going to come through halfway through the movie. You're probably not going to understand the plot line. I never understood that bit of movie mischief, to be honest. 133353, cinema mischief. Multiple movies. Did you do a movie marathon? Who's been being jealous of the kids who got to do a movie marathon all through the night? And their parents would come and bring them home at 6 a.m. in the morning. Cinema mischief. 133353. Any monkey business? Do you have any backseat rebellers? Any backstage party goers? Any curtain hiders? That's always asking for trouble, isn't it? Someone just renting some space in the cinema, rent free, in those little curtain grooves. 133353. Cinema mischief. Because I had a leash very tight on me as a child, I rebelled a bit later in life, and I'm not proud of this, and I'm pretty sure you're allowed to admit a cinema-based crime 15 years after the fact. But I remember thinking that it was very smart to go to the self-serve candy bar, and instead of filling up a big, large popcorn box of popcorn, you'd put like all the expensive candies and Maltesers and all that right up through the box. And then you just put a top layer, a little dusting of popcorn on top, then go to the checkout and they just scan it through as popcorn. That was a little bit of cinema mischief. I'm not condoning that.
No, no, no.
But it is cinema mischief. 133353. What did you get into? Any cinema mischief going on? Well, in Q, we are talking about movie mischief, cinema mischief. What did you get up to back in the day?
Oh, mate, it was just exactly like you said. You know, first time you're allowed out, like, go with your boys to the cinema, back row bandits, and you're just like a heckler at a comedy show, you know? You're just yelling out everything, laughing really loudly, causing a nuisance to all the other moviegoers.
Yeah, it's got all the big pieces of a great prank recipe. Young kids, back row, they're nice and early, all hopped up on sugar and Maltesers. Just ready.
That's it.
Not there to watch the movie at all. Oh, that part looks interesting. Who's that? Oh, a couple over there. Yeah, let's throw a little bit of food over that way. Oh, those were the days. Those were the days. Oh, I miss those days. Thank you, Will. Adam in Melbourne, Cinema Mischief.
How you going, Danny?
Yeah, good, thank you. Just reminiscing on the good old days, sipping on days when I had a Mustang. Fergie.
It was back a long time ago, because I'm nearly 50, but in Russell Street in Melbourne, you'd be able to go to the Hoyts, just sneak around up the back lane and wobble the emergency door, and the door would open, and you'd go in and sit down the front, and then you'd make your way up the back, and
love
the
movie that. The movie
we got was Weekend at Bernie's.
Well, there's so much surprise and intrigue when someone goes in through the emergency exit door. And well done for utilising this door. Too often, this emergency exit is only used for exits in emergencies. Non-emergency entry point for you, which is very against the grain.
Yeah, and it was about six of us, so it was all good fun.
Well, of course. Now, does anyone bother to get up and tell the movie steward that there are some mischievous youths coming in through the emergency exit door as a non-emergency entry point, or are people too engrossed in the movie to care about some young whippersnappers like you?
Well, we didn't get kicked out, so...
Great.
Yeah.
I think that answers the question. Good. Very ambiguously, but it answers the question nonetheless. And I love the use of Hoyts. Too often people are breaking into greater unions. So you forget about the Hoyts. Daniel in Hobart. How you going? Daniel...
Yes, back when I was around about 12, me and my group of mates, we were very, very much the scallywags.
Oh, yes.
And my old man was pretty much the king of, he taught us everything we knew.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah, no. My dad's a legend.
Well, and he sounds like it. What did he teach you? What did he know that you now know?
Well, him being the Yoda and us being his Obi-Wans, he told us that don't buy the food. Take your food in. So he stuffed our little overcoats with packets of Maltesers and, you know, just little things like that. And because Hobart, when it gets hot, it gets very hot. And we went in and, you know, unsurprisingly, the kid that gave us the tickets was probably only about 15 himself.
Of course.
So, you know, he wasn't going to search us.
No.
We used to have... The Maltesers get that hot that they'd start melting, obviously, and we used to pick targets of bald-headed gentlemen and try and pin them in the back.
Love
it. We'd be playing Malteser cricket. Each one was a score.
Well, he's taught you well. He's taught you well, young Obi-Wan.
He has.
Sounds like the perfect prank. And you won't be weighed down with hairy men, follicular scalps to throw half-melted Maltesers at you. Immediately know that the bald man... Almost Alf Stewart style. You're probably Alf Stewart feathering at most, to be honest.
Yeah,
but you prefer more of a Michael Klim dome, I'm assuming, in the cinema Malteser toss game?
Pretty much. And we'd have specific targets. And if they turn around, we'd just be making out that we were watching the movie. And, you know, they'd be none the wiser. And all of a sudden, another barrage of Malteser missiles would come over.
More Malteser missiles all over the place. None the wiser. Great use of the term, none the wiser.
Round one of the Miracle Malteser. All bets have been placed. All games, races, and anomalies have been run, played, and completed. How did we go, Lakey?
Well, look, let me preface this with the seven-leg multi didn't get up. So we didn't win the $2,533.90 on offer, which is a shame. We weren't expecting miracles with the Miracle Multi first up. The first round is, I'm not making excuses, but getting your eye back in. There can be upsets happening in round one of sporting leagues. There can be people showboating. There can be people betting with head rather than heart. And it was off to a great start on Thursday night, we had Simple Simon, the tennis tipster, who hates tennis, by the way, but that's his exact trick. He has no emotional investment in the sport. Tipped Vera Zvonareva to win head-to-head against Fiona Ferro in St. Petersburg. Now, I got home, and I didn't realise this, but Fiona Ferro was the number three seed. And I thought, oh, come on, Simple Simon, the tennis tipster. Who's going to knock off the number three seed in the round of 16? I'll tell you who knocked off the number three seed. Vera Zvonareva. A-plus for Simple Simon, the tennis tipster who hates tennis. A fantastic bet at $1.55. Then there was me, the wild card, who put down some action for Friday afternoon, Eastern time, the snooker WST Pro Series, Ali Carter, to beat Ben Hancorn in the snooker at $1.22. Yeah, look, the wild card did his part. That's me. Never in doubt. Off to a flyer. Then we had on Friday night the curious case of Parramatta Eels taking on the Melbourne Storm. Doesn't miss Chris, the NRL expert, who is back for season 2021, who barely stepped a foot wrong last year. He said Melbourne Storm by 12-plus points at $2.59. I don't know if he was greedy. I don't know if he was betting on pure adrenaline and emotion. But unfortunately, not only did the Storm not get up by 12 points, the Storm went down by 4 points. Doesn't miss Chris, the NRL expert, has enough credits in the bank to retain his spot, but let it be known, Doesn't miss Chris has been disciplined after also showboating on the show's Facebook page, saying, oh, let's see if I can get another tip right after my 100% success rate last year. Doesn't miss Chris, you're better than that. Just take a step back, buddy. Just let the betting do the talking. It then meant that the rest of the multi was null and void, but that doesn't mean that the rest of the crew isn't on notice, and we are going through each of these efforts with a fine-tooth comb. Aussie Rules Aaron, he said that every one-round game is risky, but the Doggies to get up against the Pies at $1.77, $69.53. Nice work, Aussie Rules Aaron. Then we head down at the track, Dave, who is the horse racing apprentice with a three-week placement. He said Rose Hill, race four Saturday, very elegant. Void, rained out. Which, to be honest, in the betting game, is as good as a win. Good work down at the track, Dave. Then we had Big Bad Brad, the ball expert, who said, hey, let's go FA Cup. Chelsea to beat Sheffield United early Monday morning. Chelsea, 2. Sheffield United, 0. Nice work, Big Bad Brad. Good to see you picking up where you left off from last season. Now, I said that we weren't here to muck around this year. I said that it was a business. I said that I don't take lightly putting $50 down each week on a miracle multi. Everyone has to pull their weight. Everyone needs to successfully give me their can't-lose tip in their chosen field. They've gone out on a limb and said they are the expert in their chosen sport. So it doesn't bring me a great deal of joy to welcome Chris, the V8 virtuoso, onto the show. Good evening, Chris. Now, you said that Shane Van Gisbergen would struggle with his broken collarbone and that Cam Waters was a sure thing to take out a couple of races over the weekend, winning at the Sandown 500. Unfortunately, this did not happen. SVG managed to put his broken collarbone to one side and trounce the fields. Did you see this coming?
No. We sat there with our jaws open.
Yeah,
couldn't believe it. We actually sat there in the stands this weekend with Will Brown's parents, of all people.
Yeah, great. Well, there's no time for name-dropping here. No time for name-dropping Will Brown's parents here. This is business. You may have sat there with open mouths. I sat there with empty pockets. Because, unfortunately, this was the gaping hole in the multi. We know that it was the first week. I just don't know, moving forward, if betting on the V8s is good for us as a Miracle Multi crew. Not only are the odds extremely fluctuating, but we're basically just betting on metal and oil rather than people.
Let's go back to the tape as well. I also did say on a dry track, Cam Waters had this weekend wrapped up. Because Izzy, as we know, is the wet weather expert.
Yeah.
And there was Sunday was just going to be his in the bag. But yeah, as soon as qualifying rolled out, he was on it. He was absolutely on it.
Yeah, look, Chris, the V8 virtuoso. I'm hearing two things. I'm hearing car on highway in the background, and I'm also hearing excuses. Now, unfortunately for me, as head of the Danny Lakey Miracle Multi Crew, looking to win big money this year. I've got to separate emotion from business. And as we say in the cutthroat world of Miracle Multi Crewing,
you're fired.
Oh. One more weekend.
One more weekend, he says. Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not, which, look, is unfortunate for Chris, the V8 virtuoso, who was on hold for 12 minutes and 36 before taking this call. But that's business, guys. The multi-crew is down to six. We will hook Chris, the V8 virtuoso, up with a couple of prizes off the air, but he will be null and void for any future bets in the lead-up to this weekend. The crew now stands at six of us. Seven becomes six. Six can easily become seven again. If you want to be part of the Miracle multi-crew and reckon you have a sport that you specialise in, we are looking to fill voids in NBA, NBL, NHL and Super Rugby Division. This sounds like you. If you're the man or woman for the job, you can always hit us up on 133353.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast.
Congregation claims pastor farts in their faces to heal them. Another slippery old pastor. The congregation of a church in South Africa are claiming their pastor sits on people and farts on them as a means of healing and blessing them. Pastor Christ Penelope of Sevenfold Holy Spirit Ministries in Sayandani Village in Limpopo, has been accused of farting on his congregants. How good's that? When the words "has been accused of farting on his congregants" is the leveler out to get back on track during this topic. Come on, Christ Penelope, lift your game. Photos reportedly show the pastor sitting or standing on top of people, with people claiming he breaks wind on them. I love that that's where the line is, where people are happy for someone to just sit on their head, but the second that he farts into your ear canal, oh, that's a bridge too far for me. I can see photos here of Christ Penelope. He is sitting on people's faces. What this photo doesn't show definitively is whether he is mid-fart whilst the photo has been taken. Christ Penelope's having a great old time, though, sitting on these people's faces. However, the pastor refutes the remarks that have been circulating on social media, having simply said, "I don't fart on people. I heal people." That's one of you's next time you fart in the office or in the workplace. "Oh, God, did you fart?" "No, I didn't. I'm trying to heal you, you broken man." The Outlet reports that people have been flooding to the church in the wake of the rumours. But Pastor Penelope has said the people saying all those things weren't true. They hear of things and believe them. I reckon Christ Penelope's just ran out of gas. I reckon he had a nice little boutique church of four or five people. He was farting all over them. Now they've started coming in a big congregate and he doesn't have enough left. Christ Penelope literally and metaphorically has ran out of gas. He's argued that what he does is not by flesh, but by faith and by flatulence. And saying that when he sits or stands on people, they don't feel any pain, as the Holy Spirit's in charge. One 30-year-old man told the Daily Sun, "When we come to church, it's because we need prayers, not to be farted on." What the pastor's been doing isn't right. Lay off the pastor. I'm not saying about this man to stop giving it to the pastor. I'm saying to the pastor, lay off the pastor. I think that's making you gassy, making you fart on everyone, pastor. According to the Daily Sun, Pastor Jacob Sabia, a second pastor, said, "This is wrong. Nowhere does God say sit on people and they will be healed. Pastors should practice what's in the Bible, not what they think is in there." Well, this is the problem with the good book. You leave it open to interpretation. Until the big boy upstairs ties up a few loose ends, you're going to have pastors farting on people's heads. That's why it's keeping happening. 40-year-old woman also said she'd stopped attending the church, adding, "That's not what I signed up for. I need prayers, not farts." There's a common theme here. People just want the run-of-the-mill church and for the pastor to stop farting on everyone. She called on Christ Penelope to ask God for another way of healing people. Yeah, come on, Christ Penelope. I wonder if Christ Penelope is actually reading the Bible or if he's just been given an old copy of Captain Underpants and he's getting confused.
It's time for more interviews with pointless Aussie world record holders. The only person ever to eat a whole AFL football.
Yeah, I thought I could do it, so I obviously deflated the Sharon and then just ate it whole like a kebab, and now I have what's called leather poisoning. And I'm on dialysis for the rest of my life. I always thought leather poisoning was a good thing, but apparently not. Plus, I obviously had to eat the bladder of the ball, and there was some complications where the bladder got stuck in my bladder. And then when I went to urinate, I ended up emptying my bladder, but unfortunately it just filled up the bladder of the ball, causing that bladder to swell, which caused my bladder to swell. And with the swelling of the ball, it caused the swelling of my balls. And also the ball bladder caused more issues with my gallbladder. I'm f***ed, mate. And 20 youngins out there, don't eat an AFL ball.
What a sad story. What a sad, tragic story of a man who ate a whole AFL football.
Danny Lakey. Triple M.